Hey guys, welcome to episode 220 of the JV Club with my guest, Ricky Lindholm. God, I really need to provide my own crowd applause more often. I wanted to thank Bill for your wonderful note and comment on Facebook. And I want to thank Kendra and Holly for yours as well. I want to just spend the rest of this short introduction telling you guys, if you don't follow me on Twitter, first of all, please do. I'm just at Janet Varney. Second of all, if you didn't see my couple of tweets about Chemda, she was a past guest on the podcast, of course. She is also the co-host of Keith and the Girl podcast. And she has had some pretty serious health issues come up. And she is a wonderful person. So if you have the opportunity, please check out the following website, youcaring.com. That's youcaring, youcaring.com/thegirl. And that will have information on what is going on and how you can help. So that's that. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I feel certain you will, because we're talking about Ricky Lindholm after all. Oh, and Dana Gould, Nate Mooney, and I will be doing At Midnight on Tuesday, November 1st. Those are all people who star on Stand Against Evil on IFC. Perhaps you've heard me mention it. So check that out as well. Okay, guys, talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I would start it so defiantly, like, no one's in danger here.
I'm like,
now is it dark and sexy enough for you? Is it mm-hmm. too dark?
I think it's like maybe the perfect lighting.
Okay, good.
I do. I like
it's a little
lot.
Having this recessed lighting is a little like, it's a little, I want to say it's a little Sleep No More, but I don't know if you've done Sleep No More.
I haven't, but I've done the other one.
What's the other one?
There's one in London that's
yes!
like the sequel to
is
Sleep
it
no
cool
more. It was fine.
It depends on whether you like. I mean, I well, didn't know I liked that stuff.
Okay,
so.
The reason I don't think it worked. I've never been to Sleep No More.
Yeah.
But I've heard that you go around and you sort of know Macbeth. So you know the scenes.
Right.
This was based on a play that no one had seen.
Okay.
So you're trying to figure out what the play is. But
yeah.
if you miss stuff, then you're just like, I don't. I would walk in and there'd be like a dance scene and it was cool. And then there'd
be
some actors.
With you, I feel that's the same with Sleep No More.
Oh, really?
If I were pressed to tell you, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I will say that my fascination, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I feel I could have talked about it more. I feel I've been withholding in a positive, like, fond way to the mm-hmm. listener.
Right.
But here I go. But if I were pressed, I could probably tell you who Lady Macbeth was.
Right.
Anybody else, I wouldn't be able to tell you what was going on.
Got it.
For me, I was like trying to avoid all the actors because I felt like a child in like a giant dollhouse. And so I became fixated on like just exploring and being in the room.
So you went to Sleep
like,
No More for the scenery.
I did.
Wow.
I really did.
You have to be alone in that, right?
I don't know.
But then everyone's searching for the actors.
Yeah, but like it's five stories of the most intricate stage design
right.
I've ever seen in my life. And it felt to me like, oh, this is something I would have a dream about as a child. Like, I would have a dream about this crazy building that has wow. all of these different settings and is scary,
that
but like manageably scary. Is the one in London really big?
It was really big, but it yeah. was more like 50s. So it wasn't, you know,
this
it was like sock
Victorian.
Hop. Yeah.
It was, oh, yeah. No, this is like taxidermy. Like, ooh. It's very Tim Burton. Like, hello, mommy.
Like,
yeah, it like feels
that.
Like that.
Is it
There's
still
a part
on in
of
New York?
It that's like an insane asylum, but in a very, not in like a Saw horror movie mm-hmm. way, in like a The Others, like masterpiece theater,
Got
scary
it.
Kind
Got
of
it.
Way.
Yes.
I think
she's photosensitive.
Yeah, she's yes. like, oh no, we had to dip her in hot water.
Right.
She, you know, and but this, so there's a whole. But and I was definitely interested in like certainly there's little you know vignettes going on with actors that I was very interested in. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it was more of a thrill for me. I don't know if it's because I'm an only child and I did do all that sort of like, this is my fort. And so many kids do. But I had that feeling. Was like,
wow.
Which room can I be in alone. And if other people come in, I would be like, oh, and then I would want to go.
Wow, I have so never connected to spaces unreal. Like that. I have feel you jealous. Not? No. My place, like, I don't have any stuff. I have okay. no stuff. I don't have you anything right on up the wall.
She said, pointing to her head.
I just like, I just can't like care enough. Like mm-hmm. I'll think that I'm going to decorate and then I don't. And I actually hired a decorator recently. It's going to start in the new year because I just like won't do it.
You're like,
I have
make one me painting. My nest.
I have one painting. It's sitting against the wall, but I don't want too much stuff.
Yeah.
I like sort of big blank white walls.
Listen, I get that, and that's great. And I don't, I have a very mixed relationship to my home environment. But certainly I will not like make every reference in comparison with you and Kate. Not at all. But I think she's more like me in the sort of
I need the thing that's the, look at this Kate, tiny. Kate's like, I gotta have, she has my like cabinet of fairies. Collection.
Yeah.
She has a nun collection. She's got these like Jesus pictures. She's got, she's just got tons of stuff. And I have no stuff. I like, my big decoration are these. I mean, I live in a loft, so it's just big white walls, and then I have striped curtains.
That's perfect.
But the curtains are actually amazing, and then I have like red beams.
Yeah,
and like clean. I look like American Psycho, though. My apartment's just so, except with no DVDs just or books.
Constantly listening to Huey Lewis.
Yes,
and arguing over what color your card is, your business card is.
Right, exactly.
Do you feel that sense? Are you also? I mean, are you pretty fastidious? Are you tidy? Because if you like that cleanliness, because some people like a blank slate, but then they can kind of let it go a little bit because it's not like, oh, and I have all these tchotchkes and I'm messy.
I can let it, I can be a little messier in my environment because I don't have any, I don't own a tchotchke. I don't own any stuff.
Don't.
I have one box of things that I save.
I'm bad. And that's memorabilia. I'm terrible at keeping or like old. And I think I got that from my parents because both my parents kept like nothing of mine. Like the instant I moved out, my dad was like, do you want all of this stuff from your childhood? Like I'm not saving any
mine
of these
is it
grades
too.
Or pictures or anything. Like if you want them, take them.
It sucks. My parents sent me boxes of stuff. But the only good thing is they sent me all these pictures. I don't know why my parents don't want these photos, but I have like endless throwback Thursdays. Like
go on forever.
I will never end with that. But it was just like,
but does it feel weird when they're...
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I think both of my parents, especially my mom, as she got older, really did start detaching more and more from physical stuff and would just be like, I don't know, it's just that much more you're going to have to worry about if I die. Like, there's a
Yes.
I mean, I try to keep everything real organized for you because it's just, listen, I've seen people have to go through it when they have to clean up a parent's house and I just want it to be really easy for you. And there's something so matter-of-fact about that.
Wow. Yeah. She's planning for the afterlife. That's okay, a long-term thinker.
Like, there's this sort of thing that happens with more than just my mom. I feel like I hear other people saying that relatives, even just who are in their like early 70s, will be like, listen, I'm just going to give you this ring now because I'm not going to be here forever. Let me just give it to you now rather than
weird.
You
weird. It's like nobody wants to talk about that. It's like no, I
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, no one's worried about your stuff. I have an older brother and
an
older half
sister. Also, kind of go, here's your stuff and here's your stuff.
Oh,
what if you're like, no, actually, they preserve their rooms perfectly, and for some reason, just me.
I actually don't know. Actually, I don't know. I probably had a lot more stuff than my brother. I was in everything.
Yeah.
My brother was more like a chill guy. Yeah. I was like the president of everything. I was I was in every single.
Was this?
Like 2 hours south of Buffalo in this really small town. But my parents, like when I was in eighth grade, my back went out. Mm-hmm. So my parents made me give up like one or two of my activities because I was like booked solid all day long.
Oh man.
It's just my same personality that I have now.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of where that came from? Like just to have that ambitiousness?
I don't know.
I always bring this up with people who were like that because I feel like I was fairly
Were you like
lazy.
That too?
I was fairly lazy, I think. I definitely didn't have like, I remember looking at it would be like the yearbook where you get the yearbook and you're like flipping pages and you're like, oh, there's a chess club.
Right.
Oh my God, I guess we do have a student council.
Like I was like president of the student council. I was all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think like, it's weird. I don't think I've ever told anyone this story. This is really strange, but this is true.
It's too bad I don't have like a sound effect that's like
new story. Yeah, I may have told someone in my personal life, but not. I was like, you know, I was always like sort of like an achiever kind of kid or whatever. And then when I was in fourth grade, I moved to this town And then the summer after fourth grade or after fourth or fifth grade, one of the teachers I was friends with, his daughter, And we were talking, and she's like, yeah, my dad, he couldn't stop talking about you. He was talking about you. And I was like, what did he say? Oh no, what did I do? He's like, no, he said you were a genius. And I was like, what? And for some reason I was just like, yeah. Like, I just believed it. Like, it's a teacher. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she told me, like, you should.
And if you're a person who cares about that stuff, right, too, then that authority means something.
Yeah. And
I would be the same way. I what am I going to do with all of my genius?
That's how I felt. I felt like, whoa, I have this burden now. And I was like, I didn't tell my parents. I was like 9 or 10. And I was just like, interesting information. And like, I don't know why I just bought it. And before that, I was in gifted class and stuff. Like, but I didn't care. And then I was just like, what do I do with my brain? Like, right, where do I put it? But right, I was from a town of 1,000 people. So there was never like enough places to put my brain. And I was always trying to like figure out what I was good at. And like, it was kind of like that moment where I was like, well, if I'm a genius, how do I explore this? Like,
isn't that
just
fantastic?
In my own little
think, like, what if that was just something that we kind of did? We sort of quietly insinuated, like implied,
right?
Like, oh, by the way, so and so says that you're a genius. Like, how many kids would take that in
and go?
Because I have that curiosity about, like, I talked about this. I can't believe I don't know if I've talked about the podcast before, but the idea of like these things, since humans have these kind of crazy brains, mm-hmm, and unlike, to our knowledge, any other animals, we do get really into like making and creating and listening and feeling and also like categorizing and like, mm-hmm, how do I define this and how is this safe for me and how do I understand this? And that kind of explains to me the whole kind of like, you know, the Indian practice of, you know, which kind of body type do you have, and the Chinese horoscope and our, mm-hmm, you know, the sort of, I don't even know what our Western horoscope is, but Greek horoscope, I'm not sure.
I guess so, I don't know.
But where you, as a young person, that stuff sort of, especially when you're at that kind of formative age, mm-hmm, anywhere from like 8 to like 16, I feel like.
Right.
If someone says, well, you know, you're a Libra, so that actually means da da da.
And you're like,
whether or not that's true, how young are you when you kind of internalize that? Where you're like,
it's so crazy.
I guess I am. And then you start becoming the thing that everyone says, oh, you're going to have this because you're just fated to have this.
And then you're like, but it was also like, looking back, I'm like, oh no, that I was dying for someone to tell me that.
Right.
I just didn't know it. You know, when someone says exactly what you always wanted to hear, but you just didn't. I like moved every year and I was always like, I didn't know where I fit. And then I was like, well, if I'm a genius, I don't have to fit.
Exactly.
I'm like this whole other thing. Like I'm a creator.
Yeah. You moved every year. You guys moved a lot.
Yeah. Until I was in fourth grade and then I stayed in that one town. But yeah, it was like, I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, that identity I can get behind.
Sure.
But I mean, he could have said anything. It could have just been like, oh, he says you're really nice. I'd be like, okay. But this,
I guess I'm really nice. Yeah.
This I was like,
it's a special word.
I was like, I had clearly been like waiting for someone to tell me this. Like,
did you take that? I mean, I'm going to assume you did not campaign on that.
Oh, I never told anyone.
If you had posters that were like, vote for Ricky. Hey, I'm a genius.
No. Oh my God.
I'm a quote unquote genius.
I didn't tell anyone.
You just tucked it in there.
I thought it was like some special thing for me. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anyone until I was like 28.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was like, no, I don't know when I realized like, it's just it's nice. He's a teacher. It's cool that he said that. But he said it behind my back, which is what I thought was cool. Like, he didn't say it to me. And I heard it and I was like,
wonderful.
Yeah.
It's an amazing gift. And I don't know what... I don't know what qualifies anyone to be I mean, like IQ, that doesn't really mean anything to me, I don't think. So it seems
he said it was just the way my brain worked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's no reason
he had
be
no
wrong
authority.
About that.
But
no,
he wasn't no authority to say that. He was like, yeah.
But
I took it in and I ran with it.
I'm sure that, I mean, listen, I wouldn't say you're not a genius. Come on.
I mean, who knows? But I was just like, it's just like you like, I don't know. It makes you wonder like what kind of things kids hear that they take and then they go the wrong way.
I couldn't agree more.
You know?
Yeah. Did you feel, did you put more pressure on your, but like you said, did you put more pressure
from
on yourself?
That,
like if something
I heard it over the summer
well on, at something where you're like,
I heard that over the summer before sixth grade. And then I just never got a B ever again. I was like, well,
that's
if I'm
hard.
A genius, like I'm not
and
a B.
Your back went out.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm not
and
a
that
B.
That was all, that was stress based.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not a B student. I'm a genius. I'm not a B student. And I just like,
a blessing and a curse.
I mean, totally. Where I was like, you know, I started playing the flute and I was like, no, I'm going to be the best one.
Yeah.
And I just like went on that track, but you know.
Do you still play the flute ever?
Sometimes,
I'm trying to remember if I've seen you play the flute.
I play it sometimes with Garfunkel notes, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Now it's...
I don't know. I can't... I've never explored the reed family, other than like a recorder that when you
get
passed out over... Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. So, but like anything that you use to...
Oh, the embouchure.
You blow with your mouth.
Yeah. I think reeds are gross.
Like, I wouldn't even know.
You see like people in the oboe section just sucking on those reeds or the... People keep putting their dirty saxophone reed into their mouth. Like I just remember looking over. Right, you sit across from the clarinet section of your flute, and they're just like, and they're just like licking the same piece of wood, and they never clean it. And they do like they have it for like 4 years.
Yeah,
it's, like, it's gross.
Wouldn't it be interesting to track? Mm-hmm. Speaking of like what you are as a kid and what you grow up to be, if those kids did have like they smoke more often or they love their pacifiers,
yeah,
too
like
long,
oral
or
fixation. Oh, I bet they do.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you play anything?
I play guitar. I play guitar and I play bass.
Oh, I knew you played guitar. I didn't know you played bass.
I did because when I started playing with my friend Kit when I first got here, she played guitar, and this was actually pre-Garfunkel and Oates. And once you guys started playing, I was like, we play like once every 2 years. Let's back off this because
of
fans
us?
Of you. Well, no but way. It just was That's... like, it, and it's a weird thing because it becomes like, there's no reason there can't be more than two.
Right.
But we were just like, those girls are great. Let's just, like, now with people are going to be like, well, there's the tall, and it is like my friend Kip Bongetti, short with brown hair, and
really?
You and I are like the same height with blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also it wasn't like something that we were avidly pursuing.
That's the thing. Like you could see it in our eyes. Kate and I are like, we're doing this. like I'm like, I'm a genius and I'm doing this. No, I didn't say that.
And I played the flute.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
We thought it would be funny. We were very different. We were a, these guys know we were like a faux feminist rock band,
nice.
Like Meredith Brooks.
Nice.
Like that was the inspiration. So we would wear like, you know, sleeveless black t-shirts, and all of our songs were angry rock and roll songs about like the machine. But then we would say things that would betray how actually super sexist we were. And we were like shitty to ourselves all the time.
Right.
Like, oh, women can't do math, but we are cool.
But fuck you guys for thinking that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're
exactly.
Right. But, right.
So
it.
We wanted to have like a hard edge.
Right.
I learned how to play the electric bass. Amazing. So we could have an acoustic guitar and an electric bass, and somehow that gave us an edge.
Wow.
How long have you played guitar?
Since I was 17, I think. I never like took that on seriously though. I've never wanted to get great at it.
Yeah.
I'm just fine.
It works for what you want to convey.
Yes.
Like overall conceptually.
Yes. That part of my personality has calmed down since eighth grade where I'm like, I have to be the best. Like it just isn't like very prevalent anymore.
Well, what I'm sure when your back went out and your parents were like, listen,
yeah,
we got to back some of this off.
You need to so cancel to two of your activities.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
What two activities did you give up?
I think I can't remember what the one was, but the one of them I regretted because I'd written this musical for this thing called Odyssey of the Mind. And then
I've heard of Odyssey of the Mind.
I wrote a musical for our school. Like, and then that musical ended up winning state. And I wasn't part of it. I wasn't in it. And I didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I was like, oh, man.
That's the definition of bittersweet.
Yeah.
What was the musical about?
It was like, I don't remember. It was like, there was, you know, there's like topics. It was about like Candyland or something. I can't remember.
I mean,
but it was
belated congratulations.
Thank you. Well, no, I wasn't part of it. I know,
but
that's before I knew myself. I chose basketball.
How'd that go?
I was bad. It was just like fun to be with like these girls. Like I chose like social rather than like my true self, you know, because you're in junior high.
Yeah. What? But and so by high school, what were your primary passions?
Well, my high school, the theater department got canceled after my freshman year.
Oh,
so like, I just never could.
So,
I wanted
I take
to.
It was a public school.
Yeah, I wanted to act, but I'd never acted, and so I just didn't really.
And then
they
took it away.
Ugh. Yeah,
I would not have done well if they had gotten. That was like the only thing.
That's all I wanted to do. I asked my parents if I could transfer high schools because I was like, I want to be in musicals. It was ridiculous. I live in like a town where like there's like so much snow. Like they're not gonna, you know what I mean? Like they're like, no,
you're not gonna be in the car for 2 hours on a snowy day to get to your school.
Exactly.
What was it sort of like a sports centered school. Yes. Then? Yes. They were like, I mean, listen, we need just, this money for football.
Yeah. I think that's what happened because there was also all of a sudden a new scoreboard. So
with like an ironic, like a smiley, right. smiley, sad drama like, mask.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. But, you know, it just wasn't like a priority for my school, I think.
Yeah.
The AP classes got canceled. Everything
oh
sort of.
My
I think
God.
They just.
You're
yeah,
not
they just,
kidding.
Yeah. My brain did not get enough stimulation. And
Ooh,
I was like,
joke.
There was like, no internet. There wasn't like, we didn't have a Blockbuster. Like my brain was like dying
impatient,
for
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like spinning. I think like that's more why my background, I was like, I needed more stuff. I needed information. If I'd had the internet, my life would have been so much different. Like I would have had all this information and knowledge. And
absolutely.
Instead
You're so
it was
right.
just,
it's really limiting when you think about the time of like, well, I could go to the library.
Right. And I would do that like when my whenever I would be like stressed out, my mom let me take personal creative days. That's what we called them.
Love it.
Because she would like want me to like not go. I mean, it was like straight A's and they wanted like if they wanted me to take days off, they were like, you're a little intense. Uh-huh. And so like my brother was not allowed to take any days off. They're like, I don't think so. But whenever I wanted a day off, I could take it. And I would go to the library and just like I would write. I'd like work on my writing or my flute or something.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Are your parents sort of liberal in general in that way?
I think so. But
Are
I was
they
just
still together.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
I was just a very intense child, and they're just like calm. They're like, take it
she
down. And
she really needs her creative day, you guys.
Right. Well, no, because I would just be like, I have a test, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to learn about this, and they're like, okay.
Uh huh.
Like.
Did you keep a journal? Did you keep a diary? And
I never stuck to a diary. Yeah. I was always scared someone would look at it.
Understandable.
Did you?
All the way through like my first 2 years of college, I think. Mm-hmm. And I have them now. And I have, again.
Is it crazy? Are you so like, whoa?
It's crazy. And there is this part of me now that's like, if something happens to me, is somebody just going to like crack some of these open and just read them?
Probably.
So it feels weird. It feels like, well, I don't want to get rid of them because it's, but also, ew.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
Do I need to write a will where I'm like, please burn those with my body?
And then of course they'll look though.
Yeah. Because they'll be like, this is going to be juicy.
Right.
Confessing to a murder anyone? No, just really like saccharine, like, right. poetry, like wanting to be Sarah McLachlan, that kind of thing.
Was she your favorite?
Deep feelings. I think she was probably my favorite for a little while. Yeah.
I liked her for a little while too.
Yeah. I mean, she was just so emotional.
Yeah.
I never got into like Ani DiFranco or anything like that. I
did a little, but she's from Buffalo where I was from. Oh, so it's sort of a, I used to love that song, 32 Flavors.
Yeah, I know that song.
That was like my sort of personal theme song at the end of high school.
Yeah.
Where I don't know what it was. The words to that song are so amazing.
Yeah. Did you, so was music that kind of a way when you talk about sort of your brain waves and I'm sure, I mean, even being told, having that kind of I'm a genius thing, that's still a time where it can feel so good to feel understood or feel known. And if you're in a place where you're understimulated, it's got to be so frustrating. And you sort of look wherever you can. I mean, I don't know if you read a lot of books or like fiction or whatever.
I don't know what I did. I started like getting old movies from the library, like, but it was never like a lot. And then I went to college and I was just kind of depressed in college. And so I sort of just like went away from myself completely. Like I wasn't writing. Like it was just like 4 or 5 years of like nothing.
Why do you think that is? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Syracuse.
Okay.
I think I had chemical depression. Yeah. I think it was
that's the time, right? That's the time when that certainly happened to me where all of a sudden.
Did it really?
Everything just went like all the little little pieces like cogs that were sort of out there that were like, oh, just kind of all dropped into place.
And then
I was 18 and it was like, oh, fuck.
Really? Where'd you go to school?
I went to Northern Arizona University in Arizona because that's where I'm from because I got a scholarship for 2.5 years. And then I moved to San Francisco just because I really wanted to live in San Francisco, which was good because that's that feeling. I think that feeling of taking control when you are going through something like that and going, you know, I'm still going to take a risk. I've sort of lived in this place and now I'm just going to abandon that. And there is something to be said sometimes as a young person, especially like the whole idea of running away from your problems. I mean, sometimes it's good to get a change of scenery.
Yeah, it really is. I didn't love college. It wasn't for me, but I also didn't have like anyone in my life who was like, hey,
why don't you just,
you know how at Syracuse, it's really snowy and it's all sports and you don't like them.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to a school where it's sunny
college,
with
you
theater?
Have this opportunity to just so many people have a really negative experience in high school, and then they go to college and like, that's where I found my people. Right. Like, that's where I figured out. Like,
oh my gosh. I did not find my people. Oh my gosh. I like looked people up that I was friends with in college, and they're like Republican spin instructors or something now. It's like, it's all like, whoa, we really had nothing in common.
Yeah.
It, you know,
you worked with what you had.
Yeah. But I was just like depressed. I didn't care. I was like, hi, you know.
What about dating and stuff? Did you do any of that?
I did in high school. I didn't in college. I was just like depressed. I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
What were
the guys like that you dated in high school?
You know, like nice small town boys. But like my first real boyfriend was like sort of more than that, and he taught me how to play piano, and he kind of introduced me to these other things, and like he told me who like Maya Angelou was, and I was like, who is that? Yeah. Like, this was all like, oh my god. Like, he like showed me an E.E. Cummings poem. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have known any of this stuff, so he was sort of like an opening.
I like that. I have a couple of guys like that too, and I think some of that stuff gets a bad rap. Like, we, when at our most self-critical, and sometimes it's true that we just take on, you know, if you're young and you're sort of easily influenced, you suddenly girlfriends will be like, oh, I guess you love fish now, huh? You know, you're like, you never seemed to like hippie bands before, but now
I totally did that. Yeah.
But it's such a, hopefully I was also that for people, but when you have, I mean, friendships can be like that too, for sure. But there's something about the just like the adrenaline and the emotion and the hormones, and then getting so excited about things, but really having your mind opened. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what it takes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, is to have that like rush to your head and like your heart beating, and you're finding out this poetry is more delicious. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted this boy to like me. And he would like paint me. He told me I was his muse in this very small town near Buffalo. Like, it was rare.
I'm glad you found a painter.
Yes.
In this small town.
And I was just like so into, you know.
Yeah.
I was just super into it. But then I just kind of dated like sweet local boys. I always like nice boys. I never went through the mean guy stage.
No, me neither, really.
I don't have the self-esteem to date someone mean. I don't. I mean, clearly I respond to compliments, like, based on that. Like, do you know what I mean? I like people who are like, some people like people who like challenge them to be better. And I feel like I like guys who are like, you're great right now. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And I can just exhale.
Yes.
They're like, you don't need to be more. You're like, this is a good stopping point.
Yeah.
You can keep growing, but I'm cool with you as is. Yes. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that sounds like you also don't have that part of you that's like, I'm going to change this person.
Oh no.
Like, this person will be my project.
Mm-mm. Do you have that?
No, mm-mm. No.
I don't have the energy for that.
I think I might be too self-centered.
Maybe I am too.
I don't really have that much time to work on you. I really am super preoccupied with whether I'm okay.
I feel the same way. I mean, I feel like artists, it's hard to take on a fixer-upper. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's different if you're already with them and then they have a problem, and then you'll just go through it with them because you love them.
Absolutely.
And then you just like get in there, and that's, you make the time, and that's it. But starting out with the fixer-upper.
Like, I see, you know, if I just cut through this marble, I'm going to find myself a perfect,
I'm not attracted to potential.
That's great though.
I'm attracted to like as is.
You must have had friends growing up who were like, I don't know why why do I keep picking these guys who just,
like the assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But I don't know. I don't like.
Those were hard. Those were tough. Some of those were tough for me because you do have, and you totally get it because I have things where I'm sure someone else will just grab me by the shoulders and shake me.
Oh, me too. I have so many things.
But that's definitely just not one of them. For me that I'd just be like, but just don't do it.
Right.
It's like, no, it's not that simple at all. There's like something very specific going on here that you're making these choices and going through this heartbreak.
Yeah. It makes me like wonder, like, if you're just like, are you super insecure or super secure? Like, part of me feels like people have more self-esteem than me if they can handle, like, if they're like attracted to rejection, because I'm not attracted to rejection in any way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just don't have it in me. Like, I don't.
But isn't it interesting that I'm too sensitive these careers?
Yeah.
Because that was a way of, I thought I couldn't. I mean, I feel like I have a report card from when I was in first or second grade that is like, I got, you know, they would give E's and S's.
Right.
And like N's for needs improvement. And I got all E's except for, like, I think I got an N for criticism. Like, she can't accept criticism.
Whoa.
And I remember
being like,
stop criticizing me about that.
Exactly.
I remember making it so extra true because I remember how hot my face got when I saw that, and I just wanted to tear up.
How
the
dare
thing.
They say I can't, like, accept criticism?
But also being like, I'm broken. I'm a broken person. I got an in. Like, I'm a loser. And I think that's something that is really, those that's a huge irony of mm-hmm. artistic types who end up taking on this very industry related, like, and yeah. by industry I mean it's a money related thing, opposed yeah. to being a starving artist who's a spectacular painter who may or may not make it big or whatever,
right?
But still,
like, we don't live in San Francisco rejection.
Yeah, the going in and pitching mm-hmm. yourself or your idea or your music or whatever mm-hmm. knowing that for reasons that may actually have nothing to do with your mm-hmm. worth, you're still gonna get told like, no.
Yeah, like, I can take that. Yeah. I can take, I mean, clearly you can too. We've both been at it for so long. Like, I can take that rejection. I can yeah. just do it. Yeah. But I can't, like, I can't take rejection that I can't choose to be with someone who's making me feel rejected. Like, if I don't get a job, I don't get a job. It's like, it feels almost out of my control, but like, I can't have that in my personal life. I don't like no. friends who reject me, you know, like, they can call me out on stuff, but I don't like, I don't know. I don't like late friends, people who are late. I'm like, I can't really do this much longer.
Yeah.
You know, or people who don't text me back,
the sense of disrespect. Or,
yeah. Like, yeah. I have like three great friends and I kind of live in that world.
Yeah.
I don't really need more.
There's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with that.
Do you have like a ton of friends or a small group?
Well, I'm kind of a lone wolf in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. so I feel like what we do for a living is so incredibly inherently social. Mm. It is if you're working. I mean, yes. if you're not, I'm sure I would be seeking out more social environments.
Sure.
But I am totally the person who will, like, if I'm shooting on location, I will shoot a 12-hour day and put in 150% and, like, be very present with everyone there and, like, mm-hmm. talking and talking off set and, like, tell me everything about yourself and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And then when I wrap and people are like, we're going to go grab pizza, I'm like, oh, no, I have to, like, I have a little power cord that you can't see, and I have to go into the dark yeah. and plug it into the wall. And just
you need
not,
to get in the docking station.
Not be present. And, exactly. Yeah. Are you like that too?
Sort of. I run the show that I'm on now. And yeah. so, yes, I'm like,
that's a tremendous you responsibility.
Have to, yeah, you have to be aware of every single thing that's going on. Like, you don't have to control it, but you have to know, like, who's going to be there, what the scene is, what the props are, what, you know, you just have to be like sort of the quality control or something. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right
term.
Which
is great, but because you're inherently, mm-hmm. and obviously you had the Garfunkel show mm-hmm. before that,
right.
which I think was, for better or for worse, mm-hmm. you had less money and less time. So it sounds to me like you were kind of, that was a tough, was sort of thrown into like how,
right.
but
so, I don't know so that I have any more money or good. Any more time now.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's around the same.
I can't tell with different networks and whatever, but I mm-hmm. I was wondering if that was like a good, that you had less to manage in terms of your giant cast that you have now. Like, if it
oh,
feels like
yes.
it was helpful.
Because it was
to
sort of just me
that,
and Kate. Oh, it
yeah,
definitely was.
And then to kind of go, okay, well, now yeah. I know how to do that. Now this is bigger, but I can kind of apply that to this.
Yeah, it was like a real crazy learning experience, that show. It was like definitely, like, I just didn't know like what an act out was. Like, I didn't know how to, I didn't understand television structure before that. Like, I just didn't know how to run a show. I didn't, and then you yeah. just learn.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have a small channel, like, you can just learn,
figure it out as mm-hmm. you go, as yeah. stressful and as almost put your back out as that could probably be.
Yeah, well, yeah. for me, like, I've had to like go away from that part of my personality. Like, when after season one of Garfunkel and Oates, they wanted to do a second season, and I was shooting another period.
Yeah.
So the day season one wrapped of Garfunkel and Oates, the next day I started the writers' room for another period.
That's so crazy.
And it was just like, and I was touring, and it was just kind of too much. And then I was like, I kept thinking about someone like Paul Scheer, who seems to be able to juggle 1,000 things. And I was like, can I juggle both of these? And I just like, I just couldn't.
Good for you. I can't yeah. imagine. I mean, that's, I also have mm-hmm. that. And I've started to relish the feeling of saying no,
mm-hmm.
just, which was such a scary prospect for such a long time.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's really okay. I'll
it's
do
hard.
Better at this other thing if I mm-hmm. don't do these other things.
Yeah, I was basically like, I have a chance to have maybe one great show or yeah. two okay shows. Or
maybe,
you know,
they're both fantastic, but you're not present to it because you're
right.
exhausted all the time. And
right.
you end up going, God, I couldn't even enjoy or appreciate how great these two things mm-hmm. were, you know?
And I wanted like a boyfriend. I wanted to have like a little more stuff
yeah,
in my life.
Absolutely.
I wanted to have more people and more, you know, because
Yeah, you don't want to.
It's the whole eggs in one basket thing. It's like mm-hmm. And then when something goes wrong in that basket, everything seems affected.
Yes.
And it just casts this pall over. And it's so nice to have like, this is tough and this is not great right now, but I'm walking away from it and looking at these five other things that are wonderful and precious, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we talked about Ani DiFranco. And when you talk about getting the old movies from the library, mm-hmm. which is only the most adorable thing. I remember checking out CDs at the library.
Oh, and being cool. Like,
that's how I discovered Joni Mitchell.
Right.
Did you have a certain type of entertainment that you were drawn to? Like, oh,
I didn't have the movie theater was like kind of far and like crappy. We didn't have a Blockbuster. All we had was like the convenience store that had like 30 movies. Like that's all.
Yeah.
I had no access to entertainment. We didn't have cable until I was like 16. Like I just had nothing to watch.
Yeah.
And so I started like renting. I was just really into like Alfred Hitchcock movies. Like
that's good. That's a good answer. That's where I'm going.
When I was my birthday, when I was 9 or 10, I had like girls over for a sleepover and I made everyone watch Rear Window and they were so mad. And I'm like, no, it gets better. It gets better. And I remember being like, no, the suspense, it'll like, and then like the big moment came and they were like, this is so stupid. Everyone was mad at me. And then they made us stop it and put on Chances Are. So we watched Chances Are instead. And I was like, man, but I always loved that movie. So I just started watching like all the Hitchcock movies and sort of went from there.
There's some pretty great stuff out there. I the Castro Theater in San Francisco, mm-hmm. where you've performed, has sometimes like they'll do, you know, an Alfred Hitchcock film festival,
really?
Where they show all the little things that no one's seen and then all the big stuff. And I really wore out like just going there for every movie I could see. And
what's your favorite?
My favorite.
Oh, Rear
Window. It was my favorite mm-hmm. to see in that context. Mm-hmm. There's something so fantastic about living in San Francisco and having the experience of living in a place where I looked out into a courtyard mm-hmm. with a giant tree, and beyond that was like four different buildings where I could just see everyone's lives and they could all see mine. Mm-hmm. And so it was that intimacy was so visceral mm-hmm. and seeing it on the big screen, it was so gorgeous and so well done. It was great. Like that totally surpassed like Vertigo and mm-hmm. Psycho and The Birds and all those ones that are kind of even a little more famous. And North by Northwest was also really cool.
Yeah.
That was a really good one to see on the big screen.
Have you seen Strangers on a Train?
I have seen Strangers on a Train.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I like Strangers on a Train.
Great movie. That's the tension Psycho in that is...
and Rope. Yeah. Those three
are
my...
I've seen Rope.
Rope is like based on, who are those two? Oh gosh, I'm going to mess up their names. There's these two guys who just killed someone for fun.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember their name. They're famous, but sort of based on that. And it's like a play.
Like the In Cold Blood guys. It was
something people, like that. Where it's people just like
two psychopaths who for some reason got together and just killed someone.
Mm-hmm. They just kind of wanted to see if they could get away with it. And so it's about that. And it's about like they have a body under the table and they decide to throw a party. Like they want to with the guy's friends that they killed.
How dark.
So they're just trying to see how far they can go. And the movie's done in one shot. Like because the camera couldn't go for that long. There's three different sections of it, but it was sort of like go into a table, but there's no cutting in the movie.
Crazy.
Yeah.
God, you think
so
I would have
good.
Heard more about this. Maybe I didn't.
Jimmy
it just
Stewart.
Didn't stick with me. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah.
About Jimmy S.
Oh, he's the best.
Did you watch any of the I guess there were just the main two, the Hitchcock movies that came out that like Anthony Hopkins played one and then.
Oh, yeah. I watched.
I guess the guy who played Truman Capote in the, I forget his name, but he's great.
Right.
Toby something.
Oh, Toby. No.
Right?
Oh, yes. It's like, oh, gosh, I can't remember his name.
Toby Jones.
Yeah. I was like going to say Toby Miller, but Toby is just as boring.
Equally good generic name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those.
It's tough to capture that man, I think.
Yeah. I kind of wanted, because I think he was just so elusive that it's impossible to do it. Movie about him, like, because I kind of wanted more details of his life and his process and stuff. But
someone told me Dana loves telling this story about like some a story about someone else telling a story, and I can't remember who the other filmmaker was or the other writer was, but apparently they were at some place like Musso and Frank's back in the day, mm-hmm. and that Hitch just apparently ordered everything on the menu, ate it all, and then at the end of the meal was like, again.
What?
He wanted all of that.
What? Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy.
It's
just
so
like
gross.
Just opulence and like overdoing everything.
Oh,
and there's something so
You can
they're so like see all seven sins, like yes. all they're all tucked inside that totally. Imagination. But it's also so fascinating. And did you watch? Have you watched any of Bates Motel?
No.
The first season I think is really interesting. I love Vera Farmiga. I think she's does really, yeah. she makes really cool choices mm-hmm. and stuff. And she's really good and very funny in it. And the kid, Freddie, what's his name, is also great. Mm-hmm. The little British kid who's in like, I want to say like that Peter Pan movie that okay. they did. Not the Peter Pan movie, the movie that where Johnny Depp plays
oh,
the
right, right, right. Okay, I know you're the little brown haired
yeah.
kid.
Yeah, yeah. Little, yeah. He's great. He plays a great Norman Bates. And it's really cool because it's the sort of prequel to the movie. So mm-hmm. you see this like teenage Norman Bates and his weird relationship with his mom, who's also like a huge crazy character.
What an amazing idea for
and
a show.
It starts to kind of unravel.
Sure, it's like of course.
It's kind of the guys from Lost, a couple of them. So right. you start to get the sense that they're like, uh-oh, what are we right now? Right. Like, where are we going to take this?
That's how I feel all the time. We're in the writer's room yeah. for another period yeah. right now, and I'm just like, okay, 10 episodes at once. 12 characters, 10 episodes. We can do this. And it's just like trying to put everyone together. And then we'll be like, oh, they're only available those 2 weeks. Okay. So this yeah. actor can't be there when this actor's there. Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
I guess we're writing about this person and not this person being right. in the same room.
Yes. Yeah. And we're like, oh.
That really becomes this kind of a weird, almost like a board game of kind of like, all right, this is the amount of moves I can make with these pieces. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, is there part of that? There probably isn't. But you know how some people say like, oh, if there's something helpful about being restricted in a way that causes you to just go, well, yes. we got to write this inside of a boat. So yes. I guess we're in a boat.
In the best way. Good, like for me, like I just, any scene in my mind, I'm like, there's a version of everything. There's a scene in a thunderstorm. Like, okay, there's the version where you just hear the thunder. You hear mm-hmm. There's a version of every scene. There's the scene where, you know, they're on a boat and there's a storm and you see lightning and there's special effects and whatever. And then there's the scene where it's dark and there's just the cameras moving and you just
simple way possible.
Yeah. And we have to do that. We had to do that. I've had to do that for years. Cause you know, Kate and I, when we started making our own stuff, we didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And so we just had to find the simplest way to get something funny.
Yeah.
And still like it and be good, but simple. And then
that really mm-hmm. is so great. It's a great skill mm-hmm. that some people don't have the, like mm-hmm. I mean, the luxury is the opposite mm-hmm. word, but that is kind of this, you know, creative luxury mm-hmm. where if you don't know how to do that, you're really in trouble yes. when you have to do it and yes. you never learned how.
And it's like good for my personality because I'm like, I'm control kind of person and I have to be like, nope, that's what we got.
Yeah.
Let's do it. It's yeah. just a show. Yeah. At some point I have to be like, it's just a comedy. It's what we got. And that's we're shooting against this one wall in the corner and that's, you know.
Yeah. That is really mm-hmm. good. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, you could go the other way and be the person who's like, I can't work this way. Like,
right.
Yes, I've just found out about myself that I have to have a J.J. Abrams budget.
Right.
Otherwise.
Oh my gosh. Natasha and I are like the low budget badasses. They're like our AD would come to us last year, Giselle. She'd be like, okay, there's 10 things you can't afford. You can have two of them. And we're like, great. And then we go through and then we just pick. And she's yeah. like, okay. And the other 8 we can't have. And then we're like, great, moving on. And she's like, because it's all we can, because we're busy working on our lines. Yeah. Like we have other stuff to do.
Oh God, that's the mm-hmm. part that I think that people don't necessarily realize is the amount of oversight that is so organizational and administrative mm-hmm. and tough choices. And you have to make kind of emotionless decisions.
Yes.
And then switching right over into yes. like, and now I'm the talent. Now
that's the weird thing for me.
Funny on camera.
That's two weird parts that I have hard. I mean, probably everyone has a hard time like marrying those. Like yeah. I can be emotionless with decisions, but then if 3 seconds later I have to be like emotionally available in the scene, I find that difficult. Yeah,
I definitely do too.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear, I think, is
really
being able to separate those things in a way that like, which I guess I can do because mm-hmm. at Sketchfest, I'll go have to do a show and yeah. I'll have like 10 things that are potential emergencies mm-hmm. that we have, but we have also that team. And I'm sure that's true right. for you too, where you're like,
yes,
okay, you know, Natasha's got this or mm-hmm. our director's got this or our writer's there, you know, that mm-hmm. you can sort of walk away and go, I can't be thinking about those things when I'm right. doing this, or there's no point to me doing this part of it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And I have scenes like when we're editing, I'm like, oh, I was bad in this scene. Like I'm glad I get to edit it because I'm going to edit out all my shitty moments. You know what I mean?
That part of it is very appealing. Yeah. I remember when I was doing Cameron and Rhea's show mm-hmm. and
I was watching that this morning. I was watching it this morning. That's yes. So you were great on it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. That was really
good. That was a good lesson for me too, mm-hmm. because you know, we were, I was shooting a scene with Cameron, mm-hmm. and they were setting up the camera, and she's like, I'm so sorry. Can I just see the setup on that? And mm-hmm. she came around, she was like, guys, no. Like, why are you, the camera's down here. Our legs are enormous. Our heads are tiny. Even if we weren't women who were concerned with our appearance.
Right.
Nothing about this. No. We don't even look like real people. We look like leg people that have like right. antenna heads, you know?
Right.
And she was like, we need to just raise the, mm-hmm. and I was sort of watching it going like, oh God, it would be so nice to be able to prevent it before it happens yeah. rather than seeing it air and go.
And go, oh, huh. there I am. Yeah.
But that's just mostly that's up my nose. How mm-hmm. are you? Why did that? Okay, I guess you're in charge. I don't know.
God, it's so hard. I need to get like into meditation or something because it's yeah. so hard to like, because Cameron had to like notice that and then she had to like immediately do a scene and oh, you're like, how do you do that?
I know. I think, and I, and she did it and she was great. You know, she mm-hmm. definitely just seemed like, now I'm sure she would, if she were here, she'd probably be like, great. No, I wasn't. I was, all I could think about right. was whether the shot looked so, okay yeah. while we were doing our scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but I also feel like, I mean, listen, not to get all gender specific, mm-hmm. but of all of the things that have been said that are not great about women mm-hmm. in our misogynist society, mm-hmm. Which is getting better all the time, but certainly it's always been said that women are better at multitasking. So we're it's probably so funny. Better at that than a guy who's I'm starring in a show and you're
horrible
running.
At multitasking.
Are you really?
I am horrible at it. I realized that.
Be the exception.
I know. I realized that about myself like 2 or 3 years ago and I was like, oh, this sucks. Like task. Yeah. I cannot multitask, but it's to a point where like, if I'm in the writer's room, I don't answer my email.
Yeah.
If I'm in the, like, cause I realize I can't, actually don't do anything. Yeah. I just task, I do one task. Everything else is gone. Even if it's for like 2 minutes and then it's closed, it's off. Another task.
But I think that's great. And I think that's an approach that makes sense for the world that we live in. Right. I mean, otherwise and I don't know what evidence, I don't even know what I'm quoting from. I just feel like I remember reading that and I remember reading it as like a reassurance. Like, listen, women are inferior, but.
Right. However, you got one thing.
So maybe none of that is true. Maybe that's not true. The bad isn't true, but certainly the bad isn't true, but also maybe the good isn't true and it's like a total fallacy and it's half and half men mm-hmm. and women in terms of like who can do that and who can't.
I don't know. Are you good at multitasking?
I think I'm pretty good mm-hmm. at it. But I think for me, it feeds into that part of my brain that's like, I don't have to be devastated by any one thing. And so I can sort of
let it go.
Yeah. And like, I think I've gotten better at walking away from something before it's finished. And maybe that's a good exercise for me because it used to be really hard for me to do anything else if there was anything that was like on the list of things to do.
Yes.
And that's dangerous, right? Because then you are a workaholic because you're like, well, I'll just relax as soon as I'm done with everything.
Yes.
Oh, wait, this is life and that will never happen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
So it's good.
I don't do much relaxing.
Be able to go, all right, this is, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't do a ton of relaxing.
Well.
But I also like certain things like, make me happier than anything. Like if I have like an amazing writing day, like if I like, I'll like set up like a, like the episode all week. And then like, it'll be like Friday, I'll wake up, I'll drink a ton of caffeine. And then I just write all day. And like, I can just be free and I don't do anything else. Like that makes me happy.
Absolutely. Like, well, that's part of, that goes back to the kind of what, I don't know that there's like a proof positive of like this is relaxing for everyone or this is meditation for everyone.
Right.
I feel like better about, I feel more calm going on a vigorous bike ride with my brain than I do sitting in a room trying to focus on my breathing. That's just, I feel more relaxed. If you know yourself well enough and you feel it in your body.
A bike ride would be such a punishment for me. It would be the opposite of relaxing. Like going on a bike ride, like in like the traffic, like that would be stressful.
No cars, only up in the park where it's like
quiet. I find exercising stressful. I don't like it and it doesn't quiet my mind. It's just like, I feel like I make myself do it because I'm like, no, I want to have a healthy heart and I want to have like, I try to just, you know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And that's exactly the perfect response. Like,
but I hate
you
it.
Don't, but like, but it's not, but it's like, oh, Ricky, I got the answer for you. You need to go lie on a beach and read a trashy romance. Oh, that's relaxing.
Nope.
No, for you, you feel rejuvenated by having a great day of writing. Mm-hmm.
Just like laying in my bed and watching Law and Order. Like that's mine. Like I would do that over the beach any day.
Yeah.
Like I just love it so much. Just
you know what? Relaxing. I've never watched Law and Order.
Really?
I feel I'm missing out.
It's just like a show that's like, good enough to keep your attention, but not so good that you can't zone.
Totally get it.
Like I can go into like, I fall asleep. I can just like go like, and then you just wake up and you know what's going on. I find Murder, She Wrote is like that. Murder, She Wrote is kind of my new, now that it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Do you watch, do you ever watch that? It's so slow.
I've seen some Murder, She Wrote, but I feel I've leaned into all of the BBC Murder, She Wrote versions. Like I've seen all the sort of, this person is an almost retired British police officer or investigator or writer in a small town where all the murder has to do with like, Oxford. It all has to do with like, sure, whose rose bushes did they? You know, like it's that I find that very, that Oxford is very murders. Soothing to me.
Is it?
I have a lot of
then yeah, then you get
I have
it.
A lot of like little old lady, like things I would have thought as a child. Mm-hmm. I was a little like, oh, gardening and doing crossword puzzles and watching like old people on the BBC solve mysteries.
Yeah.
Feels great.
I love that stuff.
It's so good. All right, listen, I gotta get, speaking of loving stuff, I'm gonna get into this MASH game.
Okay.
Then I will send you on your way on this sexy hot Thursday evening. Okay, so MASH, you know, mansion, apartment, shack, house.
Oh, right, yes.
This is the sort of like, I'm going to give you categories. You give me three in each category. Then I do a process of elimination. I give you your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Okay.
So the first category is going to be, let's do three. This is very improv based, so I don't want you to feel like you have to think too hard. You can sort of, and then an hour later, you can call me and go, why didn't I say? give me three. Give me three great old movies that actually never existed. Like Hitchcock did three other movies.
Just titles?
Love.
Are they titles or descriptions?
Descriptions. Like this one's set in the da-da-da.
There was this movie that Hitchcock did that was like, it was kind of like Rope, but it was in a submarine.
Whoa.
And it was all one shot. And there was 12 people in one room and they couldn't get out. And then the lights would go out and people would slowly start to die.
Love it.
And then it would narrow down. And then you saw the last man standing and there was the guilty party.
I love it. Yeah. What was the next one?
That one's called Under the Deep Black Sea.
Ooh.
Yeah. The next movie was, starring Mae West and it was, a talkie about the first woman who wore pants in public. She's like, I'm just going to do it, darling.
I love it.
I'm sexy and I'm going to get arrested and I don't care. And she's basically like the, you know, just like the female pioneer. She would like smoke a pipe after sunset, which was also illegal.
Oh God, that was such a problem.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. One. Yeah.
Great.
So, and that one's called The Lady Wore Pants.
Lady Wore Pants. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then what's the final one?
Oh, the final one, it actually takes place at the World's Fair.
I already love it.
Mm-hmm. And it's about this person who invented heated sneakers. So you could just like turn them on like an electric blanket and then your feet could be warm if you live in like a cold environment.
Fantastic.
And it was sort of like that movie Joy where the woman invented the mop.
Yeah.
It was like that basically. And then the heated sneakers like took him all the way to a QVC style show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was that one called?
Oh, that was called Heat It Up.
You're damn right it was. You're damn right it was. Okay. All right. Now.
I was going to say Heat and then I'm like, oh no, that's Taken.
Listen, they recycle those names. I've been seeing a lot of names where I'm like, hey, isn't that movie with, no, it's not. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. This one is, so we'll put this into a different context. Okay. So this is not because we just talked about like the whole vacation concept, but this is sort of alternate. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a place you can go to relax, mm-hmm. but it is a place where you have another home.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in the world. Three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, three places I have homes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, London,
great.
New York, mm-hmm. and Uruguay.
Mm-hmm. And
that's not hard.
Fantastic. Okay, next one is a friend who is from something fictitious. So it could be a cartoon. It's like one of your best friends. It could be a creature. It could be.
Do they exist in real life? They actually exist. I would be like, I'm friends with Sophia from Golden Girls, like that kind of thing. Like it's a real character.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's Bea Arthur's character's name in Golden Girls?
Well, I was about to say Maude, but
no, I was thinking Maude too. Dorothy and Golden Girls.
Love it.
Carol Burnett, Miss Hannigan, and Annie.
Listen, guys, I've talked about this more than is necessary. By that, I mean I think I've talked about it once before.
Her performance as Miss Hannigan.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know why she didn't win an Oscar.
It's unbelievable.
When I've never...
I used to do her like as like a my little routine as a kid.
That's great.
It's like a little girl. Little girl.
Yes.
Everywhere around me is little.
I would love to see you impersonate Carol Burnett as Miss Hannigan. In a I would lose my mind.
Oh my God. I want to do that now.
Amazing.
I want to do that. Who else am I friends with? I feel like I want to be friends with Ducky.
Oh, sure.
You know, wonderful. I just like want that buddy, but he's not in love with me. We're just it. We're just buddies. It's just nice. Yeah, he's not tortured.
There's no angst.
We just like each other. Yeah. He likes Molly Ringwald, so we're cool.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Next one is, let's do three movies. This is similar to this, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to kind of piggyback off that. Three movies that you can go into and live in that world. It's not that you're reliving the plot. It's not that you're a character in the movie, but you get to hang out in that world
Ooh.
As long as you want with no harm come to you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that is the hardest question ever. Oh, wow. Okay, so Great Gatsby.
Great.
The Baz Luhrmann, like, you know, that...
The really opulent, sumptuous one.
Yes, yeah. The sumptuous one.
Great.
What's the Muppet movie where Miss Piggy's the fashion model? Great Muppet Caper?
Great Muppet Caper.
Yeah, Great yeah, Muppet Caper.
Yep.
Yeah, I could be in that world. What is my third one? This like there's so many worlds I want to live in.
You've given some really great. I mean, your off the cuff responses are top of the line. Top of the line.
I feel like I don't know why it's like there's so many, it's so hard to like narrow it down, but I feel like my last one I would just have to be like Dynasty. No, that's a TV show.
That's okay. I accept it.
Okay.
And I embrace it.
Okay.
Okay.
So Dynasty.
I've never seen Dynasty.
I'm trying to think. There's got to be a movie version of Dynasty. Maybe like Troop Beverly Hills. Let's say that.
Oh, great.
That's the same sort of opulence level.
And also shout out to Shelley Long.
I know, right?
Shout out. Okay. Wonderful.
I know. Can you tell I love like strong female performers?
It's the best. Yeah. No, listen. I mean, come on. All right. Okay. Next one is three. I've been doing this lately. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what your responses are going to be. In your normal house, just like mm-hmm. it exists now,
yep.
You have one extra magical room that doesn't take up any more space, mm-hmm. but three different purposes that like, oh, did you know I have a sewing room? Or did you know I have a gym? Or did you know I have a room that you just go in and it's a forest? Mm-hmm. Three.
Well, I have a massage chair room.
Right.
And it's just got a big screen TV and a massage chair, and I just lay there weightless and watch Law and Order.
Great.
So there's that. There's that room. I have a candy room.
Oh, wonderful.
That I just get to walk in whenever I feel low, and then I can just pick from all the buckets and everything, and it's just like Wonka.
Yeah.
And then my third room is like my sex dungeon.
Oh, let's do it.
Where it's like not like a dungeon, but it's just like the whole thing is a mattress.
Mm-hmm.
The entire mm-hmm. room and every single thing is made for like sexy comfort, and it's
pleasure
just like
great
every and, surface yeah. is perfect, and things come out of the ceiling like whatever you want.
Yeah,
like there's mat that you can open, and there's drawers of things, and it's just great. Like it's a sex room,
and then just a heart-shaped bed of velvet. No,
oh yeah.
I just turned it into like a weird Vegas honeymoon yeah. suite, which maybe it is. Okay, next one is all due respect for your mm-hmm. wonderful boyfriend. Mm-hmm. This is our MASH universe where you mm-hmm. pick three people
uh-huh.
who they can totally be from any time, any era, any age. Could be young Jimmy Stewart, can be just a character that he's played.
Mm-hmm.
But these are this, and it could just be like for sexy times in the sex room, or it could be like alternate universe husband or mm-hmm. whatever.
God, I have no crushes. It's so weird. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Call back old crushes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, John Cusack can say anything.
Great.
Everyone wants Lloyd Dobler, right? Like he totally supports your dreams. He has a personality, but no dreams. And he gets on your, he goes with you to London.
You're
it's like
so
the ultimate,
right.
he's the ultimate, yeah. he's a wife.
He's like, I don't care what I do. I just don't want to buy and sell things. My dream is to be with your daughter. It's like every woman's like,
absolutely right. Yeah. That was really like a generation of women were like, hold on. Wait, is that an option?
It's all my dreams.
Yeah.
I don't have to give up my life for this man. So definitely Lloyd Dobler.
Love it.
Johnny Castle, Dirty Dancing.
Right.
Patrick Swayze. Of course, nobody puts me in the corner. Obviously.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Third crush. It's weird once you come to Hollywood how crushes are, they don't exist anymore, and I can't believe that's real, but it is.
No, it's true for me too. I sort of, they become either more abstract or they become like affection crushes, but they're not sexual. It becomes like, oh, I just want to, like, I have said this. I said this when someone else had me play MASH. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to be on a train with Greg Barrett and just talk to him for 12 hours. Well, I just love him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Oh, I thought of my third one.
Great.
John Hamm.
Great. Perfect.
Via Mad Men, via Always.
This is how it's played.
I didn't mean to interrupt your Greg.
No, that was it. Because
I would also like to be on a train with him for 12 hours.
I just
want more like relationship advice from him.
Yeah, I know.
All day long.
He's the best.
He seems to be like a broad thinker.
He absolutely is. He also, the quickness with which his brain sort of processes information and he is able to articulate his responses blows me away. And also, in a weird way, the books that he writes with his wife, Amira, almost are like modern day Lloyd Dobler's. They're like,
they really are.
You're wonderful. Mm-hmm. So fuck it.
Yeah.
Because you're wonderful.
Yep.
Great. Okay. Next category is, let's do three like sort of styles, because you mentioned Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. Three eras, three styles, and you're on another period, and you created another period, where you get to try on, sort of live in, and it's all comfortable. There's mm-hmm. no discomfort to it, but mm-hmm. it's just like, I get to see, like, Ricky gets to see Ricky as, and three different styles from different eras.
Okay, you know, like, the sort of, I think it's, like, early 80s, late 70s, like, the bikinis where you'd, like, have the tan lines. Like, you know, you'd have, like, a low bikini, but then you'd see, like, you have...
the other bikini.
Right,
line.
You have, like, a bikini tan. I've always wanted, like, a bikini tan with another bikini. Like,
oh,
that look.
God,
doesn't that seem
so
amazing?
Much.
Like, I could never burn my skin in that way, but
never. I'll never see myself.
I will never ever have that look.
That's wonderful.
I feel like I would love sort of that Scarlett O'Hara mm-hmm. kind of wearing those around, being like having the teeny weeny waist and the long train of stuff that people had to carry.
Right.
And then I kind of feel like I'd want like 80s cheerleader kind of thing. Like, like the, that blonde girl in 16 Candles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just like the... I like that aesthetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, you know, I just auditioned for something mm-hmm. that I didn't even... I knew I wasn't right mm-hmm. for, but it took place in the 80s, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm crimping my hair.
Yeah.
And once again, I crimped it, and I was like, I know it's bad for my hair, so I wouldn't do it all the time, but I think I might have to start really wearing crimped hair.
It's cute.
Make so much fun of me, mm-hmm. but...
Who cares?
For having, like, flat, just, like, limp mm-hmm. blonde hair my whole life... That nothing gives of texture like crimping.
It just does it. Yeah.
It turns you into like a weird lion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
You should do like just like a couple pieces.
Yeah.
Just have like a.
Just get some
mixed in.
Fuzzy fritz.
Like
I got
get to. Like put your toe in the water.
Just I'm going to dip a toe.
Yeah. And then.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to a game night tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I commit to a partial crimp.
Great.
A partial crimp. I'm very excited about this. Okay. Final category is let's do superpowers that are. It's not that like they're obscure superpowers. Like it's not that you can fly. Mm-hmm. You have three obscure superpowers.
Okay. I want to know, this is a really dark one. Is it like the thing that actually makes someone come?
Oh my God. Amazing.
Like what's the real thing? Like
the
thing behind
trigger.
The thing.
Yeah.
Like what is it? Yeah. I'd want to know that. I would want to know. I wish I could do like a scale of like 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 where the person you're dating, like you knew how serious they were about you, like what the real number was.
Yeah. Seriousness radar.
Yeah. Seriousness radar, but like an accurate number. So you could like compare your number. You could see your number and their number and see if it's in line.
Yeah,
so that one, another superpower. I feel like if this would be a superpower for me is the ability to take a nap. It feels like I might as well fly.
Yeah.
Like people close their eyes and take, and I'm just like, how? It's not, I've never slept on a plane. I don't have that in my life. I can't nap. I can't like fall asleep without like Law and Order and sleeping pills and like total darkness. And yeah, it's like, you know, people who date me love it. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so napping would be my secret. Yeah.
I would also put napping as a superpower, mm-hmm. hands down. Okay, now this is just the part where we determine which thing you get. So okay. Tell me when to stop.
So, did I just say stop at any point? Mm-hmm. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this, okay. Do some eeny, meeny, miny, moe okay. type stuff, come mm-hmm. back, give you your future.
Cool.
Send you on your way.
Okay.
Okay. I feel real good about your results.
Ooh.
God, where do I start with this? Well, first of all, let me just say you have a shock in Uruguay.
Ooh, all right.
I'm going to throw that right
that
in
means
there.
I'm writing a novel.
You're clearly writing a novel.
Means it's meant to be.
I mean, listen,
genius.
You're just out there in the beautiful jungle of Uruguay. I've never been there, so I assume
beautiful.
It's lush.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, gorgeous.
listen. Temperate weather is my understanding about anything in that area of the world. I want you to know you have multiple bikinis.
Oh, good, good.
Therefore, multiple bikini tans.
Oh, good.
You might have like a weird thing where it's like you can see four different tan lines where you're like, that's a little darker. That's a shade darker. Are those boy shorts? Yes, I also have boy shorts. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. You're going to be almost like camouflage just in the tan line area.
That's good. That's a good look.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
This is something that you also can enjoy with your best friend, Dorothy from Golden Girls.
Okay.
So she's going to have a lot of amazing tan lines as well.
Yes.
I want to thank you for bringing the world the amazing, tense Hitchcock thriller, Under the Deep Black Sea.
Oh.
That stunned the world with its suspense. Now, for you personally, whenever you want, you can also dive into, and this is maybe good because you also have your simple shack in Uruguay, you also can jump into the lushness of the Great Gatsby.
Oh, good.
So that's like polar opposite, fabulous.
That's a good, yeah. I can go back to my shack anytime.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, or just go into your candy room.
Yeah.
Just go to your, essentially your Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory room. This is also fantastic.
This is an amazing shack I have.
Yeah, this really worked out. You also have the amazing ability to know what makes every single individual person come.
Oh, wow. And your lights literally just flashed when you said that. Did you see that?
Yeah,
that actually happened.
Well, listen, this is, you said it felt like you were seeing a psychic. That is proof positive. And you know what it was? It was a message from the great beyond.
Okay.
Because you ended up with Mr. Johnny Castle.
Oh, right.
R.I.P. But in this world, he's back.
Yep.
Badder than ever.
Yep.
Ready to rock and roll.
Ready to do the lift.
Ready to do the lift. Ready to make sure nobody puts you in a corner. Ricky, that is
your
MASH future.
I feel very excited about everything.
Much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad we did this.
Me too.
I'm sorry that it took us so long. And I say I'm sorry, but really what I'm sorry about is that I'm saying that because I'm sure everyone is tired of me saying that because every person, it takes about 2 years for our schedules to align. Bless the business.
Yay.
And listen, everybody, if someone listens to my podcast, I guarantee they already love you. So I'm not too worried about them finding you. But is there anything you want people to know about in the present?
Another period is right now on Hulu. It's only going to be there for another month. So watch season 2. And it's going off streaming. So do it right now.
Get in there.
Top of your
list. Watch it. Enjoy it. Get in and all over some of my favorite people in the world. So that's a great one. Hulu, streaming. Watch it. Ricky, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'll
talk to you next time. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.